T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America, sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for choosing us this afternoon. We are very grateful that you are here with us. We have been following the breaking news of the announcement of an indictment in the death of Breonna Taylor, the shooting of her that took her life. Fired Louisville officer indicted on criminal charges, but not her death. Brett Hankison, who was a detective who was a part of that, is indicted on 3 counts of wanton endangerment in the first degree. I want to get straight to our guest here, Katie. Let's get to Tim Jones, joins us every Wednesday.
Another great night for Donald Trump.
No collusion, no obstruction.
This is Armageddon.
You know, I brought you Outlander.
Brought to you by Arrowhead Building Supply.
Tim, thank you for joining us today. This is one of those days where I had about 10 things I wanted to talk to you about, but the first and foremost, there's this issue of the Breonna Taylor case, and Ryan is going to set us up here a little bit, because one of the big questions surrounding this is whether or not they were supposed to be at Breonna Taylor's apartment in the first place. Ryan has the warrant, and then Tim, we're going to get your reaction to all of this here in a second. Ryan, go ahead with the information that you have right now.
Yeah, this is also from USA Today. It says, misinformation shared on social media suggested the officers showed up at the wrong house, but police had a search warrant signed by Circuit Judge Mary Shaw for Taylor's address and for her. The report also shows that LMPD's new place-based investigation squad spent about 2.5 months conducting heavy surveillance. Breonna Taylor was linked to suspects in that investigation, according to the report, because a car registered in her name stopped in early January at one of the properties being watched. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, just Tim, your reaction to all of this and so much of the misinformation that has been out here has been responsible for so much unrest. But yet here we are, and there are charges, maybe not what people were hoping for. What's your reaction to the whole situation?
Yeah, first of all, major tragedy, right? And condolences, thoughts, and prayers continue to go out to the Taylor family. This is a horrible incident. It's a tragedy. And as my friend, Attorney General Cameron, mentioned, he said, nothing I do or say is going to change the fact that this is first and foremost a tragedy. I thought he did an excellent job in that press conference. I met Daniel Cameron about a year and a half ago, before around the time he was running for AG. He happens to be a very close friend of one of my very close friends, Jonathan Schell, who was the former majority leader in the Kentucky legislature. So I guess there's 1 degree of separation between Daniel Cameron and I at most. I've met him 3 or 4 or 5 times at various events. He is a very serious person. I don't know if people know this or not. I don't know if this is relevant or not. The liberal media would make it relevant, I think, if the shoe were on the other foot. Daniel Cameron's an African-American. He's the first African-American elected as Attorney General for the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. I think it's notable that he's the first Republican African-American. So, you know, whether that matters to people or not, I think it's a fact that should be noted. He's going to have a particular interest in this case, given his background. And so on and so forth. So that being said, I thought Daniel Cameron basically said, look, I'm going to look at this factually. I'm not going to let any of my predispositions or anything about me affect this case or anything about the media affect this case. I'm looking for the facts. That's what prosecutors do. I think I've mentioned this before. People may know a little bit about my history. I'm a recovering attorney, but I once was very much a practicing attorney. I practiced before all the courts of this state up to the Supreme Court. My first job was in the county of Nassau for the state of New York, representing the people of the state of New York as an assistant prosecuting attorney in Nassau County. I handled a heavy docket in a very busy part, very similar to St. Louis County, except about five times as larger in Nassau County District Court. Also did felony arraignments, so cases like this came across my desk before they went on to the upper level court for disposition. This is the beginning of this case. People need to realize that. And I don't want to make light of anything, but there's an old saying amongst us attorneys that you can indict a ham sandwich. What that means is it's not extremely difficult to get an indictment if you have enough facts to basically prove probable cause. Probable cause is your initial standard for proceeding with a criminal investigation. It is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's several levels below that, right? So just because there's an indictment here does not mean there is or is not going to be any kind of conviction. We have a long way to go. And as you just pointed out, what a shame that we live in such a culture that I call the judge, jury, and executioner culture. You can call it the cancel culture. You can call it whatever you want. It's a bad culture right now where so many people are prejudged based on what they read or what they, even worse, what they think they read in the media. And, you know, the media seems to take certain incidences, and if they're about certain people and certain other people, and you can fill in the blanks there, then the media seems to automatically judge to the same exact conclusion every single time, and that's that the police officer actors are guilty. And in some cases, that may very well be true. In other cases, it may not. But the worst thing in the world, and we've dealt with this with so many things over the last few years, where an incident comes out, the media, the liberal media, make the drive-by media, makes a decision at the forefront as to what they think the verdict should be. And then they write that story. And then when the real facts come out, if they're different from the initial impression, it is so hard to unring that bell, right? Because the bell has been rung, and there's nothing you can do to take back the ringing of that bell. So that initial sound, that peal of judgment, is in the ears of everyone across the nation. And then it takes a lot of convincing and a lot of explaining to unring that. So I'm not passing judgment one way or the other. I only know what I've heard and what I've read about this case. And apparently a lot of what I've heard and read has been wrong. And so we've got a long way to go with this. The charge of wanton endangerment. Kentucky is a commonwealth. That means they do some things a little differently than other places. You know, the state of Louisiana is based on ancient French law. Commonwealths have certain other things. I'm not going to get in the weeds on that. It's a little tedious and boring. Suffice it to say that that is basically similar to what we would know under Missouri law and a lot of other states as involuntary manslaughter. It's acting with a reckless disregard or kind of a negligent homicide. Sometimes negligent homicide is a lesser included charge in involuntary manslaughter. So what is it not? It's not premeditated. It's not first degree or even second degree. It's one of the lower levels. It's still a homicide, right? All these things are homicides. They're all considered the death, the killing of another person by another person. But there's certain degrees of that. You know, we categorize, we make judgments when we write laws, right? We make judgments when we write laws. We make judgments when we pass judgment under the law. And so an involuntary manslaughter is basically something that if the police officers were guilty of that, it would be that they acted with a reckless disregard. They should have used more care. They should have used more caution. There was one particular moment where I caught Daniel Cameron making a very specific point about the warrant being a no-knock versus a knock warrant. Mm-hmm. And I think he made that point because of this movement we've had the last few years, which I think has been good in many regards, of criminal justice reform, basically throttling back the powers of the law enforcement branch somewhat, right? And or the judiciary itself with criminal penalties. So this is on the front end, right? This is the law enforcement part. This is no-knock warrants. A no-knock warrant means the judge has granted you a warrant that you can bust right in, right? Because a lot of times they'll use that for, like, drug cases, right? So you're going to a known drug location, potentially to go after a big drug kingpin or a pusher or a seller. And the last thing you want them to do is you're knocking on the door, may I please come in? And they're flushing all the cocaine down the toilet, right? Mm-hmm. So a no-knock is you're going in hardcore, you're going in hot, you're going in with the battering ram, you're taking the door down, you're throwing the cuffs on and putting everybody on the ground as soon as you can so you don't get shot with the automatic weapons and the evidence doesn't get flushed down the drain or thrown out the window. So this was not that. This was not a no-knock warrant. They actually had to knock, and Daniel Cameron laid out the basic facts as he knows them. So long story short, we got a long way to go in this case, and I hope that this exhaustive dissertation laid out by an excellent articulate attorney, Attorney General Daniel Cameron, will help to maybe cool some of the passions so we can have reasonable reactions to whatever the ultimate verdict or outcome of this case may be.
Are there federal charges that could be in addition to these?
Yes. Yes. And so that would this is going to sound a little esoteric because the federal government would act under the Civil Rights Act. People are like, well, what does that have to do with a criminal case? It has to do with due process and equal protection under the law, right? So the federal government generally doesn't intervene on a state criminal law matter, right? What would the FBI and or the Department of Justice intervene on? A violation of federal law under U.S. code. So under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, and it may be under Title VII, I haven't looked at this in a very long time, but basically you're wondering if did these state law enforcement actors violate the constitutional rights of Breonna Taylor or anybody else by not effectuating their arrest or their actions through proper constitutional means under the U.S. Constitution, the due process rights, the equal protection rights, all the rights that are afforded every potential defendant in the country under that. So it's actually it's a very weird kind of way to maybe find someone liable for something. And what they might do is go against the police department itself for not having proper procedures in place. Very similar to what happened here in Ferguson, right? So we had federal action there, remember? And the federal government, the Department of Justice, came in and they examined the city of Ferguson. And remember, largely Barack Obama and Eric Holder's Department of Justice didn't find a whole lot wrong with Ferguson. They issued some reports and recommendations and things. But there's never any actual action as far as I could remember. But that's how the federal government gets involved. It's under the constitutional rights owed to every defendant in every state, no matter what the state is, under the U.S. Constitution.
Tim, thank you so much for coming on and following up some legal perspective on this issue. There's going to be a lot coming in the days ahead, and we'll be sure to tune in Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk to hear the Tim Jones Show. We will talk to you again soon. Speaker Tim Jones, thank you so much.
Thank you, Annie, and Ryan, Katie, great job covering this very important story. And again, I just tell people, complicated situations like this in the way they were involved, you really got to make sure that you understand all the facts as best we know them before anybody renders judgment or declares anything needs to be done. If there was an injustice, it needs to be corrected. But we got to know the facts and apply the law appropriately.
Tim Jones, Tim Jones Show, Sunday night, 7 to 9. I agree with you there. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back, and we're going to change the subject a little bit when we return here because we are going to have Madison County Board member Erica Harris on, and this is a story that I've been following closely, and I know that a lot of people have been reaching out to the Annie Frye Show to find out the updates on this. Ryan, you're an Illinois resident. You're in Region 4. You are on a proverbial lockdown with me as well, as we both live in this area. How are these tests being counted? And as businesses are shutting down, and I'm seeing, you know, it seems like every day a business owner posting something on Facebook saying we can't do this any longer, and they're at their wit's end. What is it for? Are they counting these tests correctly? What happens if they are miscounting these tests and these people are losing their businesses based on bad math? Erica Harris with Madison County Board is going to join us to give us the latest on this pursuit, in her words, to rally for the truth for Madison County. And I have a feeling that the potential fallout from this could be statewide. We'll talk to Erica Harris in just a minute.
Just going into the details of this a little bit further, there's so many details that are against the narrative that we've been told. Now, just hang on a second, too. Annie's internet just crashed right before we started this break. So
the darn internet.
We're figuring out where she's at. She'll probably jump back in here in just a second. But Katie, as we were just talking about off the break,
yes,
it's fascinating. There have been, and I don't know why that we've done this, because we're in the news, obviously. There's so many cases out there that have contributed to these different narratives that we've all just trusted that what we've heard about each case is true. And then the more we dig into the cases, the more we find out that maybe what's being shared on social media, which is basically where most people get their news now.
Yes.
I mean, it's on us to look into these details more, which is why we've been doing what we've been doing today. But the general narrative that we all understand kind of falls apart the more that we get details.
Correct. And I mean, as I said before, Facebook and Twitter are huge outlets and considered probably news sources for a lot of people. And back in March, when we didn't have all of the facts and we were presented with this initial case, that's what we've been basing everything off of since March up until until noon today.
Sure. And there's been so many cases that have led to the George Floyd was kind of the main one that kicked off the violent part of this. But this came from March. And there have been a few. I don't remember the gentleman's name in Atlanta that was a part of kind of this building, this growing thing that ended up happening and kind of boiling over in June. But Breonna Taylor was one of those. And because if it was just Breonna Taylor, I feel like we all would have been better informed. But because there have been so many random cases that have caught everybody's attention briefly, we haven't gotten to dig into each of them as much as we've gotten to dig into this one today. And just to if you're tuning in and you haven't been paying attention to what we've been doing, you know, the Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron came out and gave a pretty lengthy statement about the case involving Breonna Taylor in Louisville. They're expecting violence tonight. I don't know if it started today. I'm not watching the screen like you are, Katie.
People are protesting right now. It seems very peaceful, but that's what it's starting out as.
Yeah.
Right.
And
now.
So we wait and see tonight if it does become violent there or elsewhere, which we're all, you know, hoping and praying against. But the facts of the case, as he was stating them, he wasn't stating them in a way that said, well, everybody's saying this, but here's the real fact. He just said, here are the actual facts of the case. And then we, as he was giving them, were realizing in real time, wait a minute, a lot of the things that we all assumed were true and knew for sure about this case are not real. Here's just a couple, a list that I've put together here. They did not use a no-knock warrant. This was not the wrong apartment. Breonna Taylor and Kenneth Walker were not asleep. They were standing up. Kenneth Walker was pointing a gun at the police when they came in, and he fired a shot into one of the officer's legs before the police returned fire and hit Breonna Taylor. Still a tragedy, absolutely.
Yes,
but the facts surrounding it are just not... they're not what we all believed about the case.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I was just talking to Andrew from the Dave Glover Show outside for a little bit, and we were just talking about the protests and what's going to happen next, and both of us were like, the protests are going to happen because a life was lost. Breonna Taylor, she died. And so that's why they're going to continue. Now, are people going to, maybe some people in the protests will realize that a police officer was shot first, and that's why three of the officers shot back. So maybe they will realize that, but I hate to say this, but when you're already out there, does it matter to the protesters? Do the facts of what just unfolded, do they matter?
I don't know. And in this case specifically, you know, a lot of these, they happen and then there's an initial kind of reaction to it in that community. In this case, we knew not in this case necessarily from March, but we knew at this moment that this announcement was coming. So it kind of gives protesters who we know travel around the country. We know that that happened in Ferguson. That's not unique to this year. We know that there will be people who have descended upon Louisville to, you know, maybe incite violence tonight. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, we've got a guest on the line right now, and I want to get to her. Sorry about the little bit of the delay there, but there's an important story happening right now in Illinois, and that story is the fact that COVID has caused certain regions throughout. We have 11 regions as designated by Governor Pritzker and IDPH in the state of Illinois regarding how we have a case positivity rate. And they're basing whether or not we get to be in phase two or phase three or so on and so forth based on what that case positivity rate is. The Metro East has had a significant case positivity rate. And the question is, how are they factoring those numbers? Somebody who you need to know right now, Erica Harris, is a member of the Madison County Board, and she is advocating for truth here. And we don't know exactly where the truth is, but I wanted to get Erica on here because we talked to her a couple weeks ago to give her the opportunity to tell us where she is in this effort to rally for the truth, as she has said it before. Erica, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you giving us this update. It's good to have you back.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me. Always good to catch up with you.
Yes, you as well. So give us a little bit of a precursor. We played a couple weeks ago the audio from that Madison County Health Department meeting that you were also in, where it was discovered that the negative tests that go into private labs that gets reported to the Madison County Health Department, that goes into figuring out what our case positivity rate is, that goes to determine whether or not businesses get to be open or not. Private labs were not required to report that those negative cases. Tell us a little bit about that meeting and how you came to raise your eyebrows enough to go, wait a second, what's going on here?
Sure. So that meeting was earlier on in September. It was the Madison County Health Department committee meeting. And we really began asking many questions to our health department director because it seemed like the number of tests that we were reporting coming out of our county seemed low for the responses that we were getting from people in our districts. And just to kind of give you a more specific example, I had people in our district calling saying, hey, my business alone is doing 100 tests or my business alone is doing 400 tests. And so kind of putting that together, it just seemed like we aren't reporting enough tests to something's missing, right? So we started a line of questioning thinking something is missing here. So that's really how it began. And as you know, during that department committee meeting, it was determined that yes, potentially some of the negatives might not be being counted was the outcome of that result, right? So our local health department director said that it was possible that some of those negatives were not being counted, and that some of that they weren't required to be turned into the state was the message that we were getting. So after that conversation, I actually sent a letter to the Illinois Department of Public Health asking for a list of labs and groups in Madison County that are connected to Illinois Department of Public Health that are sending results straight to them. It seems like there's a few different ways that results are going in, and some of these labs, we're calling them private labs, although really, in truth, Annie, we've recently learned that BJC is one of the labs that was not connected electronically to them. So right now, we don't have actual numbers of how many negatives were not being counted, but we do know that they were not being counted. That was reiterated, actually, earlier this week when Dr. Ezeke, and she said in a public conference that they want to have every test calculated and counted in Illinois so that the test numbers can be as accurate as possible. But she said she went on to say we can only do calculations in math on the test results we've received. And she said we were made aware of the fact that Barnes Jewish had lots of tests from the Metro East, from the Illinois area. And she went on to say they've worked with their leadership and their lab to make sure that they're sending those results electronically now so they can be included and accurately included towards the total. And so while we don't have numbers of how that, incompetent data is going to affect our positivity rate, what we do know right now is that the positivity rate is not accurate, and we've shut down businesses on a metric that's not necessarily meaningful or accurate, right? If it's including test results that are negative. So definitely facts should matter.
Erica, how close, the positivity rate that we've had so far that has effectively shut down this region in to a great extent, how close were we to the trigger point that was set by Governor J.B. Pritzker and IDPH, his determination along with their assistance? How close has Region 4 down here been to being on the safe side and on the triggered side? Has it been close?
Well, some days closer than others, but that would be really an answer I couldn't give you because, like we said, if you're closing a region down based on percent positivity of tests, but we know we aren't counting all the tests, we cannot give you an accurate result, right? And so out of what we know is an inaccurate result, we just don't know how inaccurate. Mm-hmm. We've basically shut down our society. We have required people to remain home, put people out of work, sent businesses into bankruptcy. We're impairing our food supply chain and presenting, you know, telling worshipers they can't go to church. So, this is a real virus. We know that. We're not saying that. What we are saying is that facts matter, and we have to be credible if we want people to buy into even doing, you know, safety measures and. So that's something we've been working with our health department is just to make sure that we are doing all we can to try and get all of those results recorded. You know,
Erica, can we hold you over for another segment since we got started a little bit late here? Mind sticking around? If anybody would like to ask questions as well, please come onto the Facebook chat at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow or the Annie Fry YouTube channel as well. Go subscribe there and watch us live and you can comment a question. I have so many questions to ask you here and we're going to try to fit them all in before we wrap up this show. Erica Harris, hold on just a minute. We will be right back with you. More questions on this. The major concern, and I'm not telling you that this is a Region 4 issue in the state of Illinois. This is an entire state of Illinois issue. This is going to be a very big story, I believe. And Erica is on the ground floor of trying to push and pursue getting this information. Unfortunately, not always getting as much information as quickly as she's asking. We're going to talk more with Erica Harris when we return. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I don't want to take credit for being the best testing state in the nation. We're third highest. Among all the states, we're certainly the highest in the Midwest, which I'm very proud of, and we're monitoring closely. And you saw that we alleviated the restrictions on Region 7 just the other day. You've also seen, hopefully you're all watching, Metro East is coming down in its positivity rate. We're rooting for them.
What?
They're starting to get it right, and it's down in the mid-7s. Actually, I saw recently that it might be dropping below 7. So I'm prayerful and hopeful that they'll get there and we can remove the mitigations.
Thank you. Well, you're rooting for us. We almost got it right. Are you kidding me? Well, maybe one of the reasons why it's coming down is because they've started to actually do math correctly. Welcome to the party here, J.B. Pritzker. I cannot tell you how ridiculous it is right now to watch what is happening to the state of Illinois in the midst of what everybody else is doing and to know that Governor Pritzker up there is saying that that Region 4 is starting to get it right. Math? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? And it cannot be overstated enough that how Madison County is counting these tests is because of J.B. Pritzker's system that he has put together. Madison County is doing what the state of Illinois has told them to do. So if there is a fault, if there is bad math here, you're going to need to look across the entire state to see what's going on. And I am so grateful for Erica Harris, who is on the Madison County Board, who is the one who highlighted this math question initially at the meeting a few weeks ago and has continued to pursue truth and trying to find out what exactly is going on. Erica, thank you for holding on with us here. It's great to have you on this issue. And there are a lot of people who are starting to open their eyes to this, both locally and on the statewide system, but I want to key in here how important it is to pay attention to your local elections. I know Erica personally. I buy my purple shampoo from her. She makes this in her home. She's a mom. She's raising kids that are the same age as mine, and this is what she is dedicating her her work and effort to make sure that, like, we're neighbors. These are real people. This is way more personal and local than some stupid thing that Joe Biden said or some stupid thing that Donald Trump said today. This is affecting real people. Erica, you represent District 26 on the Madison County Board. Can you tell us some story or something, an anecdote of people who are here who are our neighbors who are afraid of the continuation of these lockdowns based on bad math?
Sure. I mean, so in the state of Illinois, we just learned very recently, the National Restaurant Association did a survey and said, okay, 6 months following the shutdowns of restaurants, the whole industry is in limbo, and that the industry is going to lose $240 billion in sales, right? Which means we are going to have little eateries in our area that won't reopen. In Illinois alone, 78% of Illinois operators don't expect their restaurant sales to return to pre-coronavirus levels within the next 6 months. 55% of the operators say it's unlikely their restaurant's going to be in business 6 months from now. This is a big deal. And so we need to make sure that we are doing mitigations based on facts. And like you said, it recently has come to light that not all the negatives are being counted. Yes, all the positives are being counted, but not all the negatives, right? We realize this on a local level. And again, as you mentioned and pointed out, this is something that is statewide. We maybe, you know, figured this out here in Madison County, but this is something that affects our entire state because the state is going off of those positivity rates. Now, having a conversation with our local health director here, I said to her, how could this even happen? Like, this almost seems like conspiracy theory, right? Like, no way is this happening. And so just trying to hash that out with her, she shared with me, you know, this has disrupted typical reporting process, right? So typically when you get, the example she gave me actually was a gonorrhea test, okay? So she said, if we get a test for a positive gonorrhea test, we go ahead and send that on to the Illinois Department of Public Health. If we get a negative test, then we don't have to. So in providing a little bit of grace for the actual system of things, yes, that is typically how things were done. Of course, we don't shut down our communities and based on those types of tests. So it is super disappointing that 7 months in, we are still not getting really honest and truthful data. And also, I would like to know, and I think most people would, how off are we? You know we're missing some of those negatives, but how many negatives have we missed? Have we missed enough that it matters? I mean, we know it's not truthful, right? So there's that. But has it, would Region 4 have even popped over 8%? We don't know right now. And that's the data that we are trying to get of just what is the reality of that? And we've asked for that information and have not been able to receive it yet. So still working on that. Getting data seems to be at a snail's pace. And I mean, personally, I was, and I think probably a lot of people are disappointed in, like, you, the video or the audio that you just played, you know, instead of when they've learned this is happening and taking corrective action, they're saying they're rooting for the Metro East. Well, that's great that they're rooting for us. However,
patronizing.
Right. I mean, we know that they now know that all of those negative tests aren't being counted. So let's about face. And we, you know, have just rewritten life as we know it in the last 7 months, and mistakes will be made and grace can be given, but we need to fix those and fix those as soon as possible. So, so that would really be the effort I would hope that we could push for. You know, I mean, life is dangerous, right? Life is a little bit dangerous. And if there was zero, you know, if someone could die with a simple moral standard that could disqualify partaking in any other human activity, like running, driving, playing sports, right? Even though those mortality rates are low, we're not going to stay in our house for that. And, you know,
yeah. Ryan.
So. Yeah, Erica Harris, Madison County board member on the phone with us. Only a little bit of time left, Erica, but I just wanted to ask really quick, you know, what we're kind of looking to you for leadership here because we don't trust all the leadership at the top. What are you going to be able to do, or what are you planning on doing going forward to try to get to the bottom of this, to make sure that our case positivity rate is being reported more accurately?
Well, so that's a great question. I am trying to do my own research, right? With I've sent letters to Illinois Department of Public Health and also ask our local health officials, because we know that some of these labs that are automatically reporting electronically to the Illinois Department of Public Health, all of those tests are going in. There's pretty good confidence in that. So the ones we really want to know are which labs are not connected to the Illinois Department of Public Health. I do think the more light that's getting shined on this issue, I mean, they're now mentioning it in their daily announcements. So they're aware the issue is going on. I think they are going to probably, due to that, try and make some quick adjustments. I mean, my health department director actually did say to me that she had spoken with Illinois Department of Public Health, and she said she had requested an update from them as to their progress of capturing all the COVID tests in their data metrics. And she says, I know they've made considerable progress in assisting private laboratories with electronic submission of results. So as far as more of those labs get online, mm-hmm. we will see less and less of those negatives that aren't getting reported. I have a feeling they're not going to just come hand me the data and say, oh, yep, back a few months ago, here's all the ones that we missed.
When they do, you know? Erica, you come find me, and we will have another conversation. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Thank you for fighting for answers. And we don't know what this is going to put forward, but the truth and the real math is what we need. And Erica Harris, representing District 26 in Madison County on the Madison County Board, you are doing that for us, and we are grateful for it. Erica, great to talk to you. We will be in touch for sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Erica Harris joining us there. And I have to say, when you see people who are professional politicians doing this, you're like, okay, that's your job. But she is just like any of you,
yeah,
and any of us. And she wants what's best for Illinois. And it's good to see somebody who is so eager but polite in the way that they are advocating for that truth, going after it. So please, if you haven't yet, consider going and following her on her Facebook page, the Erica Harris Madison County Board member Facebook page, because she's updating there too as she gets numbers. The numbers have gone, the percentage is going down. The case positivity rate is going down, and it is going down with significance. And it's after what she's been pushing on the Madison County Board. Does that make you go, what the heck is going on in the state of Illinois? Because it sure does me. Does this make you mad, Ryan?
Thank God for people like her. Because she could just punch the clock, but she is diligently seeking out the truth. And we need people like that in government to do that.
And it's
yes,
local.
It
it's right yes. here. It's infuriating, but nothing would make me happier than the truth being exposed so that we can get back to business, people. We can be smart. We can acknowledge what's going on around us, and we can be the adults that we are and handle it without Papa Pritzker up in Chicago, not Springfield, telling us how to live our lives or not to live our lives. I'm sick and tired of it. You guys, big show today. The Dave Glover Show is going to have all of the news as well. Stick around. They'll be here in just
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.